Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Know how I know the NFL is right around the corner? I believe the Hall of Fame game is on Thursday, Giglio. The NFL is right around the corner because we got actual news coming out of camps. We got fights.
I was waiting for the first camp fight.
We got a big old brawl in New York. Joe Judge, the head coach, is really upset that Daniel Jones was the bottom of a fight pile. What the hell's going on? And then we also had a really frightening moment at Panthers camp today, where an undrafted DB, JT Ebe, was waived by the Carolina Panthers after he went high on Keith Kirkwood, wide receiver, during first padded practice today. Kirkwood was attended to on the field. He was then strapped to a backboard, and then he went to the hospital. Turns out that he has a concussion. But there were some scary moments earlier in the day related to the reports. Ebe was then thrown out of practice after that for hitting Kirkwood while he was defenseless, and then ultimately waived off the roster after the practice session came to an end. Here's Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers. After this practice had wrapped up and everybody had a better idea what was going on, and again, when this was all kind of happening in real time on social media, there was not a lot known, but Rhule eventually came out and had an update on Keith Kirkwood.
I'll just give you an update on Keith first. Obviously, I'm no doctor, so I just report what was said to me. But, I had movement in his legs. I didn't have any pain in his neck, so a lot of that's obviously precautionary. We'll wait to see, you know, after he's looked at what exactly it is. So, you know, that was just the early signs. So, I think obviously, you watched our medical staff, Dr. Gritter. I thought they obviously stepped in and did everything the right way.
Again, that was Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, after Keith Kirkwood was carted off after getting hit while defenseless as a receiver by this DB. Again, from South Carolina, undrafted, and he's been waived by the Panthers after that. You know, if this were a player that the Panthers believed in, maybe they don't waive him, but kind of tells you what they think about eBay if that's the direction they're going to go in. So that's the news of the day. But there's also the discourse of the day. And with the first padded practice for the Carolina Panthers, there was some more discussion about Sam Darnold. A little context here as we kind of get into the Sam Darnold discussion, quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. After the weekend, Matt Rhule was not happy with the level of play from what he had seen. So he put the onus on the team. Hey, I need better out of you. So Monday comes around, their last practice before they put on the pads, and it wasn't good. Multiple interceptions. I think there was a fumble, a lot of miscommunication. It wasn't like the defense was lighting it up either. I know that some people had talked about how J.C. Horn had two interceptions on the day, one from Sam Darnold, the other was from the XFL Mahomes. But as Matt Rhule pointed out after the fact, yeah, he was also holding on some of those plays, so let's not give him too much credit, right? You know, a little rookie mistake stuff. So a lot of eyes were on Darnold today to kind of pick it up, and by all indications, it was fine. But this is just going to be a rehash of how we spent a good chunk of the offseason discussing Sam Darnold, and it's not going to resolve itself until he actually goes out and plays football games. There's really nothing new to discuss from Sam Darnold. He's a gamble for the Carolina Panthers. They believe that what they saw in New York was a byproduct of Adam Gase, the head coach, and the Jets being bad. They believe that their system and the talent around Sam Darnold is good enough that you're going to see a bump. We saw this out of Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater actually put up pretty decent stats. It was red zone issues and some of the late game situations that started to rear their head that they didn't like, and the inability to go down the field, which is what Sam Darnold can do. But they believe, all right, well, if Teddy Bridgewater was able to improve his stats with us, well, then Sam Darnold will be able to improve his stats with us as well. This is a gamble, Gilio, that I'm not quite sure is going to pay off, but they truly believe that they can make this happen.
I'm not sure I'm here for all of this negative talk, Joe.
Why?
Training camp is rainbows and unicorns.
Absolutely not. Not
it's
on this program.
It's all champagne and roses.
Hell no.
Are you kidding me?
Hell no.
Sam Darnold, all they needed to do was put him in the Panthers uniform, Joe, and get him with Matt Rhule.
Uh-huh.
He's going to turn it around.
With Joe Brady, the offensive wonder boy.
Joe Brady.
That's right.
He should be the head coach of the Chiefs, right? What? What is this? What is this nonsense talk? It's interesting, though, because remember last year, they were certainly not interacting in practice the way that they are physically right now, right?
Yeah.
They had more walkthroughs. They obviously didn't have as much meeting time. And the season, I thought, was fairly well played. Not specifically the Panthers here, but it was difficult for Matt Rhule as his first year as head coach, mm-hmm. right? And now we're getting back into that very familiar routine of camp. We're getting the new quarterback threw a couple picks. We're getting there was some penalties in camp. We're getting there's a fight in camp. Yes, yes. So are we going to see a significant difference in the NFL this year, which, by the way, has one more week of games? Do you think we're going to now have two completely, like, you know, trim the fat weekends in the NFL now? Because week 17 is pretty much worthless right now. Or was. Right. Like, do you think now we're going to have week 17 and 18 as two completely worthless weekends? Not to fast forward through the whole season.
Well, no, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be. With the amount of parity that's in play and with expanded playoffs, this is a matter of keeping more teams involved.
What did they expand the playoffs to again? I've already forgotten. Now there's one bye, right?
Yeah, there's one bye now. So
instead of two teams.
The idea is you're still going to have a handful of games in week 17.
Usually it's just one.
It's just one, but the idea is to have some multiples.
Yeah.
Have a handful of these games matter. So, but we'll see. We'll see how the season plays out. I know you want to fast forward all the way through to the season. I'm not quite there yet.
You're not. You want the camp juice. You're feeling alive right now.
Yeah, I am feeling alive on the camp juice. I'm feeling alive on Steve Smith, on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin today.
You know who's got me going? Who's got me a little hope for the future?
Yeah.
Because I'm so worried about the future of media, because we're all going to have, you know, team-run media where
True.
It's all going to be people who are paid by the team. Well, Steve Smith is going to be paid by the team to do their preseason television broadcasts. I will now be tuning in, even though before I knew they were going to be on WRAL. I will definitely tune in now today after Steve Smith's performance on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Yeah, here's Steve Smith on KJZ, which you can listen to on 99.9 The Fan, discussing what he has seen from Sam Darnold in limited camp time.
Well, I hate to say it this way, but I've never seen a quarterback that switch teams, have a glowing review in the first couple of weeks. I think it will take some time for him to adapt, for him to learn this system. You got to understand, he was in a train wreck with the Jets. So I don't know why people are assuming that you go from chicken to chicken salad so quickly. It's going to take a little bit of process. And also the Carolina Panthers are a team that's trying to figure it out as well, because they're retooling. You have management been retooled. Ownership has been retooled. I mean, nothing of this transition has been seamless, and I don't believe this will be seamless either. It'll take some time.
That was Steve Smith on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, which you can listen to on 99.9 The Fan every weekday morning. I get where Steve Smith is going with this. There's a couple things going for Sam Darnold this offseason. The first one is he's got the advantage of a season lead-up that's actually there. Remember, Teddy Bridgewater didn't have this last year. You alluded to it, Gilio. It was just kind of walk-through, social distancing. It was a very strange lead-up to the start of the regular season. This is more normal. Sam Darnold gets that practice time with his new weapons to work with in the Carolina Panthers. There's also the whole Adam Gase effect. Remember, he's the old head coach of the New York Jets, but he also was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And when I say the Adam Gase effect is that we're using one instance, Ryan Tannehill with the Miami Dolphins, who, when he got away from Adam Gase and ended up in Tennessee, saw a complete turnaround in his career trajectory. But here's the thing about all of this. Ryan Tannehill was never as bad as Sam Darnold was under Adam Gase. And he actually had some statistical improvement before it all ended in Miami, and he was set free in Tennessee. And by any measure, Sam Darnold was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Even when you strip away all the numbers that are produced like under pressure and all that stuff, Football Outsiders, for instance, had him as the third worst QB behind the duo of Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins last year. When you look at their DVOA, like how they measure quarterbacks, how they measure players. And he had one of the worst interception ratios and was the fifth worst rated QB for failed completions. And his red zone efficiency, which is the big argument against Teddy Bridgewater. Remember, everything bogged down with Teddy Bridgewater once they got into the red zone. It wasn't like Sam Darnold was all that much better. I think they were around the same in terms of red zone quarterback efficiency. So let's not act like Sam Darnold is an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater, because he isn't. Teddy Bridgewater was a better QB than he was at any point in his career, even as a backup. And he was better with the Carolina Panthers last year than Sam Darnold ever was with the Jets. What he is a gamble. The Carolina Panthers, if they wanted to go in a different direction, it wasn't like in the draft. I mean, they had quarterback options in the draft. It wasn't just the top guys. I mean, when did Matt Jones go to, when did New England pick?
15.
15, right? Yeah. Okay, so it's not like they didn't have cheaper, not cheaper options, but rookie options they could have gone to, rather than somebody that we've already seen with Sam Darnold. But they decided to go for Sam Darnold and trade away Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, they could have had Justin Fields.
They could have had Justin Fields, too, which everybody's been talking up in Chicago. So let's not try to like recontextualize Sam Darnold, the QB. He was bad.
Well, 50 turnovers and 38 NFL starts. That's the number you should focus on.
He's bad. And you could say it was with the Jets, but you can also point out that other QBs in similar situations never produced as bad of numbers as he did. Could he turn it around? Do Matt Rhule and Joe Brady believe in themselves so much that they can turn this gamble into actually getting a return on investment? Maybe, but based on everything, every quarterback like Sam Darnold, when you look at all the comparables to somebody like Sam Darnold, the best you can get is still a middling QB. And where are the Panthers going to be with a middling QB? Not very good.
About where they were last year.
Pretty much. Because that was the thing about Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater did exactly what we all thought he was going to do last year.
Yeah.
There was no surprise.
Particularly when he was healthy.
Of course.
I think we keep forgetting that he was not really healthy towards the end, the last third of the 2020 season.
So, yeah. So, unless Matt Rhule and Joe Brady have unlocked the secret sauce of turning bad quarterbacks and their upside of being middle of the road into something different, well, then we kind of know how the Sam Darnold story is going to work out with Carolina. I'd love to be proven wrong, but again, history indicates that guys like Sam Darnold do not magically turn around. They just don't. They might have a magical moment. It's kind of like what's happening with Nick Foles, right? They want to bring Nick Foles to Indianapolis because Carson Wentz got hurt and all stuff, and they think, well, Super Bowl. Well, I mean, let's look at Nick Foles' overall body of work. Super Bowl is a little bit of an outlier there. Did a hell of a job, great backup QB, but in terms of being a starter, it's clearly not there. Lauren Brownlow, WRELSportsFan.com, is hanging out with us right now on the Heiser Automotive Group Hotline. Brownlow, what up?
What's going on?
Did you catch any of Steve Smith today on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin?
I didn't, sadly.
Oh, no, he was here. Look.
On one.
He was really, really good today. And he was, I guess, as fair as he could be about Sam Darnold. Here's Steve Smith on what he's seen from Darnold, and the Jets caught a couple strays.
Well, I hate to say it this way, but I've never seen a quarterback that switched positions, switched teams, have a glowing review in the first couple of weeks. I think it will take some time for him to adapt, for him to learn this system. You got to understand, he was in a train wreck with the Jets. So I don't know why people are assuming that you go from chicken to chicken salad so quickly. It's going to take a little bit of process. And also the Carolina Panthers are a team that's trying to figure it out as well, because they're retooling. You have management been retooled. Ownership has been retooled. I mean, nothing of this transition has been seamless, and I don't believe this will be seamless either. It'll take some time.
That was Steve Smith on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, which you can listen to here on 99.9 The Fan. Lauren, as somebody who knows the difficulties of making chicken salad, he has a point.
I was going to say, yeah, he didn't specify the kind of chicken salad either. Like, is it a really good kind, or is it the kind I tried to make for the Spurtle video? You know, if it looks like that, then maybe that would be a 2021 Carolina Panthers. That might actually sum them up quite well. Is the chicken salad attempt that I made with the Spurtle, which was not good.
He also talked about whether or not the Panthers can be contenders in the NFC South. Here's Steve Smith on ESPN Radio earlier today.
That's a fair question, and I really have to be honest and say that we don't know, right? And the reason why we don't know, and people may get frustrated that, well, how don't you know? Well, the same reason I give this analogy. I got four boys. Well, actually, four kids, three boys. Then when I'm playing basketball or whatever sport we're playing in the backyard, man, I always think my kid is the best. Until you take them on the other side of the tracks, right, especially if it's basketball, you take them to the blacktop in the hood, and you realize little Stevie isn't that great when he's going against his dad, right? And so you really don't know until you line up, put that mouthpiece in, button up your chin strap, and you see how guys react to get hit in the mouth. And so when you figure that out, that's when we'll have a real true assessment.
I'm putting the over-under at Steve Smith Panthers broadcast at 1.5. 1.5.
He'll be fine.
I mean, Master Jerry never would have stood for any of that.
He will be fine on the preseason broadcast with Taylor Zarzer. Actually, it's the reason why people probably want – why they're excited about it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are perfectly okay with that. But I guess he's got a point there, Rallo. And though we like some of the pieces that the Panthers have, but the gamble on Sam Darnold's really going to be the thing that is the difference maker for this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, if he's terrible, they're not going to be very good. It's pretty simple. Like, it's really not that much more complicated than that. And like, yes, they need some other things to happen and go their way. But you know, if he plays really well, then they have a chance to be pretty good. If he doesn't, then they are probably going to be bad to mediocre. So like, it is just kind of that simple, and we really just don't know yet. Especially too with some of the young defensive pieces. Like, yes, they've upgraded, and got some young talented guys in there, but that does not mean that, you know, they're going to be able to get right in there and just be fine. You do have some sense of optimism, I guess, with the fact that Matt Ryan is getting older, Drew Brees is gone. You know, so that gives you at least, you know, one less quarterback to contend with in the NFC South. But still, like, yeah, you just don't know. And really, with the Panthers, it could go any number of ways. And you know me, like, I don't usually say that before a season, but that is kind of how I feel about this season. Like, there's a reason that you could be optimistic if you wanted to, and a reason you could be pessimistic if you wanted to.
Well, the news from Panthers training camp today was about a concussion on a wide receiver. That wide receiver has since been released from the hospital. And a defensive back who was let go by the team because he hit said defenseless receiver. And it kind of muffled any sort of discussion as to where this team has gone over the last couple of days. Because I don't know if you've been reading the Matt Rhule quotes, but he hasn't been happy with this squad since, I think, last week. You know, over the weekend, he wasn't happy with what he saw. He certainly wasn't happy yesterday. Sam Darnold had one interception that was tipped off by J.C. Horn. And then there was another interception that was from Sean Chandler, and all the reports seem to indicate that Darnold wasn't exactly clicking with the receivers. But in a weird sort of way, I want to defend Sam Darnold because he's at least getting something that Teddy Bridgewater never got, and that's an actual training camp. I mean, obviously there's COVID protocol still in place, but there's an actual training camp taking place with pads on today versus what they did last year.
Yeah, and you know, Smitty was of course right in what he said about you know, you're not going to have your chicken salad right away. You know, you gotta have all the ingredients get in there, and you're not going to just immediately. He was never going to immediately come to this team, and it's all just going to be click right away, and it's going to be fine. Like, that was never going to happen. Even if you're the most optimistic Sam Darnold person ever, you probably don't think that. So, you know, there's going to be an adjustment period, and it'll probably even be taking place within the course of the season itself. So, I will not be dunking on the Sam Darnold move. Probably for at least half the season. At least I will restrain myself and just try to limit myself to somewhat snarky jokes and not go too hot takey with it. No. I will try very hard to do this.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, hanging out with us here on the OG.
What? But Lauren Brownlow joining us. Lauren, what is realistic for the Panthers this year, right? Because last year they're 5-11, and now I feel like we seem to be fast-forwarding to, can they win the NFC South? Can they make the playoffs? Like,
right.
Hey, man, it's August. It's time to start thinking about things later.
I know. There's an odd number of games this
year.
I'm
sorry. Did the Bucks completely revamp their roster in ways that I'm unfamiliar with?
There's an odd number of games this year, so I won't say 500, but it doesn't that feel like the next logical progression for the Panthers? Like, wouldn't it be nice if they were in that territory? Like, why are we trying to speed them up? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And I don't know why anybody would assume that they'll just make this leap. I mean, granted, teams have won the NFC South before with a 500-ish record. But
the Panthers
I don't think
have,
that's,
with a losing record.
even with the losing record. Oh, I remember. But I don't know that I would be pretty surprised if that's the case this year or even really that close to it. So, no, like, I think that it's reasonable to expect them to be around 500. I mean, historically, that's exactly who they are anyways, right? But I don't think it's very realistic to expect them to do all that much better than that as of right now. I mean, I think you hope if a few things go your way, sure, you could do a little better than that. But I don't think that where this team is at, that you would, you know, even if they got a few lucky breaks, I don't think that you would look at where this team is at right now and go, oh, yeah, that's a, you know, whatever, 11.
Nope. I think, oh, no, Lauren.
Vegas number is
Lauren
might
have muted herself. What was Lauren back?
7.5?
There we go.
Yeah, 7.5 is the Vegas number.
Oof, they do know, right? Don't they? Because that's tough. Like, that's for me. I'd probably go over, but I don't feel great about it.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG.
That would be right at
8 and 9. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovias. All right, Lauren, before we say goodbye, there was some mozzarella sticks discourse on my timeline today. Andy Staples of The Athletic apparently on a podcast said that he didn't like mozzarella sticks, and he clarified his point saying, I don't dislike mozzarella sticks. I'm just not ordering them when I have options because the window for a mozzarella stick is ideally 3 seconds. Otherwise, they're too cold or they're so molten they melt the tip of your tongue. I agree with Andy Staples, but I did not realize there was a mozzarella stick hive out there that rides for mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, and like especially as we see like restaurants have really like upped their game in terms of what appetizers they offer. Like, yes, if you asked me this question 10, 15 years ago, I probably would have been in the mozzarella stick hive as well. But especially as my tolerance to dairy has decreased over the years, like if I'm going to eat cheese, it better be worth my while. And so, like, for me, I would be more apt to get, like, some nachos or something like that. Yeah, nachos. Yeah, nachos is a great appetizer.
You mentioned upping the appetizer game, but it's like, I just want the classics when it comes to appetizers. I don't want cheesesteak, egg roll, and all this other
See,
crap.
I love that stuff.
I don't want any of that.
What are you talking about? Bang Bang Shrimp? You're not down
no.
for that?
Yeah, bang,
oh,
bang,
come
shrimp,
on.
Shrimp.
Bang Shrimp is amazing.
Potato skins.
Fried
I want
Brussels
nachos.
Sprouts, all of that.
By the way,
I have not seen potato sticks.
Now see, you just said potato skins. I have not seen potato skins on a menu in ages.
What?
Yeah,
I have not seen potato skins.
That was
skins.
A go-to.
Now, mind you, I haven't gone to a
day.
TGI Fridays in a long time.
Yep.
But now you just said something that made Fat Joe happy. Potato skins,
I
man.
I can make a mean potato skin, man.
That look
mean.
For me, my money is always on loaded nachos as an appetizer. Some places you can get the loaded nachos as the meal itself, and it's a great value
every
at a
time,
restaurant.
Man. Every time.
So.
Yes, nachos, like nachos, because also when those get a little cold, like granted, you don't want them freezing, but if those like get to room temp, you're still okay.
Oh,
whereas
no,
exactly
it's like the chip coagulates with all the goodies and you get the fork out. That's the good stuff, Lauren.
Yeah, that when you're forking the nachos, like you're in a good place. That's a good place to be at because then you're just shoveling it in. You don't even care if you get a little messy. You're just using the fork. It doesn't matter. It's the best.
You can get exactly the ratio.
You
can say it.
Clip that. Clip that, Ray.
Oh, God.
When you're forking the nachos.
Very
forking.
Carefully. Using your utensils.
Yes.
Forking.
Yes.
And you can get your ratios all exactly how you want it to. Like you can get the exact amount of like whatever you want on the nacho exactly how you want it. It's the best. Like the nacho appetizer, that's the go-to.
No, Giglio, I'm not disagreeing with what you're talking about, the classics.
Yeah, I need the hits. Play
you
the
know,
hits.
Like onion rings, potato skins, like Red Robin has like the Tower of Onion Rings.
Yes.
Like that's good stuff. Or I still ride for a Blooming Onion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the Awesome Blossom or whatever, you know, whatever the, you know, fried onion petals are, whatever they're called now. Regardless, yeah, those to me are the classics. But I'm with Lauren though. Like there are
you
some
like the new ones, the
oh,
new
yeah,
fangled?
I like the new fangled
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, like give me a fancy spring roll with like something weird in it. Yeah. Yeah, give me all that because like the thing is, I don't want to order whatever that food is
yeah,
as the meal.
Like, went to a
but
restaurant,
I will absolutely sample it.
I went to a restaurant recently where they had fried mac and cheese bites.
I'm okay with those.
That was pretty darn
yes.
good.
Yeah,
that was pretty darn good.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Lauren.
Now I'm hungry.
I'm hungry too.
Oh man!
When you're 40,
now I want potato skins.
When you're 40, the apps. Nachos, like you're in a good place. That's a good place to be at. Oh God!
All right, bye, Lauren.
Bye.
Oh man, what are we doing after the show? Are we getting potato skins after the show?
I gotta find my nacho place.
You know what? That's a mission for later in the week.
Okay,
we gotta find a nacho place. Jonathan Alexander, who covers the Carolina Panthers, joins us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. And yeah, it was an oddly newsy day, not for great reasons for the Panthers. Remember, Jonathan now joining us here on the OG. Jonathan, what's up, man?
What's up, Joe and Joe?
And when I texted you this morning, it was like, hey, we'll just kind of see how they were in the first day of pads after Matt Rhule, the head coach, hasn't been too pleased with the last couple of practices leading up to the first day of pads. Instead, we got one guy who gets a concussion, just released from the hospital, and the guy who put him in there as a defenseless receiver was cut by the team. So
yeah.
That was all kind of bang-bang this afternoon. How did that all play out?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there was the Panthers were in 11-on-11 drills, and pass was thrown to Keith Kirkwood, who had some shoulder injuries last year, and it was a collision, and JTE hit Keith Kirkwood with his shoulder and hit him around the neck area. And Kirkwood was down on the ground for some time, unfortunately, and had to be put on the stretcher and taken to the hospital. And I was able to get in contact with JT, and, he was extremely remorseful. He was pretty distraught about it. And, he apologized that he didn't mean to. And that he was praying for Kirkwood, and he later spoke to Kirkwood. So, Kirkwood is out, and he's been diagnosed with a concussion, so hopefully everything will continue to be all right.
Jonathan Alexander, Charlotte Observer, joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Jonathan, did you interpret it as a guy, who was on the fringe of trying to make a roster, trying to make a play, or did you think it was a dirty hit by him?
Yeah, 100% as a player, trying to make a play. Even
make an impression,
Yeah, he's trying to make an impression, and he told me that he saw the ball, he saw Kirkwood, and he was really just trying to jar the ball loose. And he's a guy who, was undrafted in 2020, gets another shot at the pro day of South Carolina, impresses head coach Matt Rhule, and, he's, trying to make this 53-man roster, which is going to be extremely hard in itself. But he just tried to make a play, and it happened so quickly, is what he said, and unfortunately he hit him in the head. And that's not what you want to do in camp, and it seems like it was a mistake that he was very apologetic about.
Jonathan Alexander, Charlotte Observer, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. I'm going to try to find the best way to put this. If this were a different player, you just kind of laid out the context of who eBay is, guy who wasn't drafted in 2020, had a second chance, lands with the Carolina Panthers. The guy's got no experience. If this were a different player, maybe with more of an investment, would this have been treated differently?
That's a good question, and a question I have for Matt Rhule. I don't know exactly the answer to that. I would think so. Given that the Panthers didn't necessarily need JT. And he was a player who was probably likely not going to make the team. I think that made it a little bit easier versus if it was a veteran. So I don't really know the answer. I think that's a good question we should, ask Matt Rhule. I think that's one thing he'll have to answer.
If this is J.C. Horn in a situation, I don't think he gets cut today.
Absolutely not.
So And look, it's unfortunate, and
it's still football. Though.
It's still, you know? I mean, it's well. And that, this is why I bring it up. You got Dan Campbell, who's the head coach of the Lions.
Oh, yeah. Kneecaps, chewing kneecaps.
Well, he said today, he's like, I want guys up until the point where they want to fight each other, but not fight. Now, what Campbell was saying isn't anything that's new with football. It's just that we kind of view these things differently now, knowing what we know. So,
especially after last year having no camp,
right? These guys want to play, man. So, long story short, I think there's a little bit of context here as to how this all kind of plays out and why eBay is no longer with the team when somebody else who they invested in might still be on this team and they would not be using the same kind of language they would be using. But that's another conversation for another day. Let's actually get to the other stuff that happened at practice today, Jonathan. I know the last couple days, Matt Rhule, head coach of the Panthers, has not been happy with what he's seen. Hasn't necessarily been happy with Sam Darnold and clicking with the offense. And it wasn't like he was happy with the defense being the reason why Sam Darnold didn't look all that great. He had some issues with Horn, for instance, you know, holding and everything else. So did any of that improve today?
I think we saw a lot less turnovers by the offense in particular. And we asked Matt Rhule about, you know, Sam Darnold, and he, you know, said that Sam Darnold was the least of his concerns with yesterday's practice. He was saying that some of the receivers were running their incorrect routes. They were supposed to be in spots to where Sam Darnold was throwing in, and that's where some of the mistakes happened. Some of what I saw was some inaccurate throws by Sam, and it's probably true that some of the receivers were running incorrect routes. I know there were a lot of false starts. Today was a lot more cleaner. The first day of pads, they didn't really take many chances. Matt Rhule admitted that yesterday's practice, the defense was actually pretty good and forcing four turnovers on the day. So you're going to have some good days and some bad days for Sam Darnold. And yesterday wasn't the greatest day, and today was pretty good.
Jonathan Alexander from the Charlotte Observer joining us here on the OG. All right, Jonathan, have you noticed any 2-minute drills or is it still, let's see if Bill Nye, the science guy, can hit a 70-yard field goal and cross our fingers?
you say have us – wait, say that again.
Well, last year it seemed the Panthers' end of game, end of half preparation was let's let Joey Sly attempt a 70-yard field goal.
Oh yeah.
And then we got in the offseason from Teddy Bridgewater that there wasn't a whole lot of work on the 2-minute drill. I'm curious, in camp, like, did Matt Rhule in the first public portion of the camp come out in a 2-minute drill to prove to everybody, no, see, we really do work on this?
Yeah. Not in mini camp they were doing a lot of that. Yeah. I haven't seen it so far in training camp, but they were doing a lot of 2-minute drills in mini camp, and yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. You know, I remember we were all thinking what's going on when Joey Sly was attempting the longest field goal in NFL history. So
poor Joey Sly.
Poor Joey Sly. But, yeah, hopefully I think we will if camp wraps up and they get these pads on, and hopefully there are no more hits. Like, they will see a little bit more 2-minute drill, fourth quarter situations.
Jonathan Alexander, Carolina Panthers beat writer for the Charlotte Observer. Jonathan, man, appreciate it. Take it easy. The vibes in L.A. for the Lakers, Julio, are like, I don't know, pick whatever movie where the old dudes all get together for one last job. I don't know if it's, you know, a team of assassins.
Ocean's 22 at this point? Or
what was the movie that they had to go into space? Had like Clint Eastwood and Tommy Lee Jones, and they all had to go to space for something?
Space Cowboys.
Space Cowboys! There was another one with, like, it's like Morgan Freeman and some other guys. Was it Last Vegas? I believe that was a movie, right? It was just a bunch of old dudes for the last thrill of it. Well, that's what the Lakers are. The Lakers, through free agency, Julio, went and added some former guys, like Wayne Ellington, UNC's Wayne Ellington. They brought back... who else did they bring back?
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook wanted, he was an earlier acquisition, but they also brought back Anthony Davis. And then they added Malik Monk, okay? And then the big one, Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has signed a 1-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, according to Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN. Is this going to work? What are we doing here?
I think if Carmelo is finally at the point in his life to accept being the second unit scorer. I've said the same thing at his last three stops, although he ended up starting for the Blazers. And
okay.
He averaged 13 points a game last year. He was perfectly fine last year.
All right.
But, you know, no, with this team, this is all about what can you do on the second unit. Can you come in and do the same thing, average 13 points a game,
mm-hmm.
and not be a defensive liability? Do I expect him to be on the floor in end game important situations? I do not. He's 37.
I understand that Chris Paul had all the warm fuzzies and he just signed a really nice deal with the Phoenix Suns to stay there in free agency. But I feel like that's just that's not Carmelo. That hasn't been Carmelo for a while. But yeah, I guess it does get it gets to what you're talking about.
Yeah, he rehabbed himself kind of nicely in Portland.
In Portland, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he had not shown an aptitude to understand where he is at what stage he is in his career.
What's that say to Carmelo? Because this is not the first time that he's been tied to like a LeBron James team. There's always been the rumors that the Banana Boat
crew
going to get together and things like that. And at the time, it was almost like LeBron was saying to Carmelo, you're not ready to accept the role that you need to accept for this to work. So maybe now that LeBron James is actually signing off on this, it is an indication that Carmelo Anthony is ready to do something like this.
Yeah, and he came off the bench last year for Portland. So, I mean, listen, I don't mind what the Lakers are doing. They're changing who they are, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of important to note. Or at least they're changing who they were from when they won the championship in 2020. They weren't a shooting team. They weren't a fancy, you know, spread it out, spread the floor. They were a size team that played defense. When you add Russell Westbrook and you add Carmelo Anthony and Wayne Ellington and Malik Monk, you're not signaling to the world we're going to win with defense.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, Dwight Howard have all been...
They brought Dwight back. That was good.
That was good.
Yeah, he was on their championship team. They let him go last year. They made some changes last year, which I didn't necessarily agree with. Dennis Schroeder being one of the players they bought in. Montrezl Harrell, who I think Montrezl Harrell is a really good NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't fit in with what the Lakers wanted to do.
And again, these are all cheap contracts too, which is important because it wasn't like they had that much room to work with considering they have Anthony Davis, they have LeBron James, they just brought in Russell Westbrook. So I see what the Lakers are doing, but yeah, it does get back to that question as to whether or not they can be as good defensively as they
want. Well, I don't think they will be.
I think it's
a matter of, though, now, can we outscore people?
Meanwhile, the Miami Heat probably were the team that got most people intrigued in free agency. They did give Jimmy Butler that max extension. Mm-hmm. I know in other news, Steph Curry got another extension with the Golden State Warriors overnight. But right now, basically the Miami Heat will consist of Jimmy Butler, which everybody knows what that dude's all about. The buddy cop dynamic with Bam Adebayo. That's another thing. You know, that's the core of the Miami Heat. You've got Kyle Lowry. You've got Duncan Robinson, who they re-upped. They signed PJ Tucker. I guess after that, you've got the likes of Tyler Hero and some others. But the Miami Heat have definitely kind of positioned themselves as that trendy team, given who they have and the whole Heat culture thing that Miami Heat fans are going to be hype about.
Going to be diametrically opposed to the Nets,
yes.
Right? Going to be interesting to see how the Nets work back in Spencer Dinwiddie, who missed last year with an injury, up-and-coming player who was the kind of piece you would have looked at their roster 2 years ago and said, you know, hey, when they get all these guys, even just KD and Kyrie healthy, Dinwiddie's the kind of guy who can really help them. So we'll see what the Nets end up doing. I think they also added Patty Mills.
They did. I was going to say, they did add Patty Mills. Which
having
was...
himself a little bit of a renaissance here in the Olympics.
Now, speaking of Patty Mills and the Olympics, it gets us to last night with Team USA and Spain. I think Brian Windhorst put it best on ESPN this morning when he likened this contest to early round NCAA tournament games. You've got a clearly more talented team on one end, that's Team USA, and a decent team on the other in Spain. And you got one player who's one singular force that you think, oh, maybe they can pull it off. That was Ricky Rubio last night.
Yeah.
Ricky Rubio scored 38 points last night, and they knocked Team USA back. I tried to stay up for this game. I tried.
Did you?
I tried.
Oh, yeah, this is a DVR joke.
I tried, and then I fell asleep and I watched the highlights this morning.
Yeah.
But I didn't even make it to halftime. I zonked out. But from what I watched early on live, it was, oh, okay, this is Team USA doing this thing again where they're allowing another team to take it to them, but The second half is what I think Team USA has actually been coming around to doing. And what did I say yesterday? Defensively, they're good. We get that. It was the scoring that's been inconsistent. Would they shoot like 60-some-odd percent in the second half?
Yeah, and now you're seeing Team USA figure it out. And that's the hierarchy, and that's what we had talked about.
Yeah.
Because we had watched early rounds, we had watched the warm-ups, we'd watched pool play, and said, well, wait a second, why can Patty Mills go off for Australia? Why can Luka Doncic lead Slovenia? Why can't USA have one player just be the guy? Well, let me introduce you to Kevin Durant. 29 points in last night's win, 17 shots. There's a clear hierarchy with this team now, Joe. And let's be fair, too. It's a completely different dynamic with Devin Booker, Jrue Holiday, and Chris Middleton. This is not the team that lost to Nigeria. This is a different group. They have Zach LaVine back, too. And they're the favorites for a reason. They're the most talented team. It's going to be a challenge for either France or Slovenia or Australia on their own side of the bracket to really beat them at this type of level. Now that they even have just a few games together, Joe. And no, it does not take a basketball genius to figure out that the best basketball player on earth should be your bus driver.
No kidding,
We both pointed this out after the loss to Nigeria.
Well, it's like, why is Kevin Durant just not the dude, right?
Yeah.
Just, he should be the dude.
Yeah.
Straight up.
But you look at the box scores.
I know.
Right? Jason Tatum, 7 shots. We talked about this. Like, there's a role for you. He had 13 points. He made 3 threes. There is a role for you.
Yeah.
But you do. You have to understand. We all have our roles. Some people, Bam Adebayo, you got to set screens.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, Jrue Holiday, you're playing defense. You're mm-hmm. passing the ball. Other people, hey, man, we need you to eat in order for us to win.
And that was Kevin Durant.
It ain't that hard.
That was Kevin Durant last night. So it's funny how we've gone from hand-wringing panic to, oh, wait a minute, maybe this team can actually pull this off. Now, I still think that if they see France,
prohibitive favorites.
Yeah, I think France, they would see France in the gold medal game.
Well, on the other, so it's down to the final four.
It's down to the final four.
You got
now.
U.S. against Australia. Australia beat them in the warm-ups.
Yes.
Right? Patty Mills was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of the bracket is Slovenia versus France.
Yes.
If you've watched Slovenia, and again, they won last night, and Doncic is that guy. Zoran Dragic is that guy.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like watch my words carefully here. It's a little bit like watching BYU or St. Mary's in the NCAA tournament. And then all of a sudden they run into Kentucky and you're like, oh.
Got it.
Ah.
It's the OG. You see what happened was. But back to the NBA where free agency is underway. The Los Angeles Lakers are going on old cheap contracts. Everybody's in their mid to late 30s on this squad, including Carmelo Anthony with the Los Angeles Lakers. Meanwhile, the Charlotte Hornets have been part of a sign-and-trade with Devontae Graham, who's now with New Orleans. They got a pick out of it. Cool. Is that it? Am I missing anything? Nada Edwards, Locked On Hornets podcast, now joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Nada, what's up, man?
Look, I appreciate Rand for trolling me in the best way possible.
Yeah.
I should have, because that was, I heard that on the plane back yesterday, and I said, please don't do it again. And what does he do? He does that again. So I deserved everything I just got right there.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a very good parody of Back That Thing Up. Are the Hornets making a parody out of free agency?
So far, yeah.
What's up?
When you can say the best move that they've done is they might have gotten the draft pick equivalent of a post-dated check, you're probably not doing very well in terms of free agency at all. Like, I don't understand anything that they've done. Rashawn Holmes went for a very, very, very team-friendly deal to Sacramento, which Rashawn Holmes staying in Sacramento, that's its own thing. But between that and then Devontae Graham not keeping him when he was part of your best three-guard lineup when it was him, Terry Rozier, and LaMelo Ball in the same backcourt, those two moves alone make me wonder what is really going on here.
Nada Edwards joining us here on the OG. But Nada, are they really ever going to be players in free agency? I know they signed Gordon Hayward last year. But it just that doesn't seem like how they're going to build this team right now, especially that they have LaMelo.
But that still doesn't prevent you from doing moves like signing someone like Patty Mills,
right?
Where if you're going to use your MLE, you're going to sign a guy that is just fire from three. It doesn't stop you from signing a guy like Rashawn Holmes, who, again, went for $12 million. And oh my God, you have 13 available, especially when you're not going to retain a Malik Monk at the same time. A lot of this needs to make sense. And I'm not saying you need to go out and get DeMar DeRozan, but right. to fill out your bench to the point where you can compete this year. And again, I need to remind everybody, Mitch Kupchak said playoffs earlier in the draft press conference. So there are expectations. I have expectations that this is going to be a playoff caliber roster. And right now, I can't say that.
Yeah, with Devontae Graham sign and trade to New Orleans, and then what? Yeah,
but isn't that what Book Knight, like, can Graham and Book Knight really coexist, Nana? Could
yes.
they have? They
yes.
could have, you're saying. Okay.
Because you could have thrown Book Knight in the old Malik Monk role. Just
right. yeah.
slash,
right.
shoot, play a little bit of defense, and you'd be just fine.
You could give
Book
Knight less.
The key was keeping Graham.
Yeah, with Graham. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, because Malik Monk just signed with...
Lakers.
The Lakers, yes. I'm losing track of...
Yeah, but I don't mind them losing Malik
sure,
Monk.
Sure.
That's what Nana's getting at. Yeah, they could have made better use of that money on a player to help.
And that's ultimately what this comes down to, is they're just trying to free up as much space as possible. Was it Tyler Zeller is going to sign a deal with the Cody Zeller.
You
got to
think,
Zeller
again,
wrong.
It's the Bloomington Zeller, not the Chapel Hill.
You're right. Yeah, so Cody is going to the Portland Trail Blazers, and I know the last time we talked about the Hornets with you, there was some concern about size up front. I mean, are they going to re-sign Bismack Biyombo?
I hope not, but I'm not sure that that's not going to be the case. I do wonder if they're holding out for Miles Turner in Indiana.
Okay.
And at some point, if that's what this whole entire holding pattern is about, is because they haven't announced the Plumlee deal yet. So JT Thor's not on the roster yet. And granted, they don't have to announce that till Friday. But if this is just one big thing to where they can actually get a Miles Turner, I get it. But it's not one of those things like I'm not signing, having other guys ready to be announced as soon as he signs or as soon as that trade is official. Right now, I don't know who their number one guy is off the bench outside of maybe Miles Bridges, and he's good enough to start this year.
Forgive my ignorance, Nada. Who was responsible for Cody Zeller's contract?
That would be Rich Cho.
Oh,
God. Yeah. Yeah. Mind you, Rich Cho's the only guy that signed. Again, they have not. Ever since Rich Cho left the building, they have not retained one of their own guys. Mm-hmm. Kemba Walker, gone. Cody Zeller, gone. Like, they haven't retained any of them. Devontae Graham, who is Mitch's guy, mm-hmm. who that entire building loves. They're like, $12 million? We could afford it, but we choose not to. Thanks, no thanks. Enjoy your contract in New Orleans. That's what they're doing over there. So, I'm not saying I'm panicking, but... if you are a Hornets fan, it's completely understandable to panic shortly, because I really wish I had answers, because I don't understand it at all.
Not Edwards. I was going to say maybe they were just trying to one up the Carolina Panthers, or I'm sorry, the Carolina Hurricanes, with some of the head scratching free agency moves. But in this case, they didn't really make any moves. They haven't added anybody.
I would think getting Cody Zeller off the books qualifies as a win, though.
I guess that's a win.
I think at the end of the day, you're going to count that one as.
Yeah.
But no. Gilio, the problem is with this one, like, he was their most complete center, which is damning wow. in all of itself. I understand that.
Yeah.
But he was still their best, their most complete center. At this point, I like Miles Plumlee.
Right.
I really do. He's a good backup center. That's about it. They still don't have a starting center. And unless you're telling me Vernon Carey is getting 20 to 25 minutes or almost 30 minutes, like, and he's actually decent at defense at that point, I really don't see it. So it's got to be Miles Turner, or it's got to be something else, because I don't understand the plan of center at this point.
Not Edwards, Locked On Hornets podcast. We appreciate the time. Maybe next time we talk to you, we'll have a better sense of what the Hornets roster is going to look like next season.
I hope so, because if not, like, I can only do the shrug emoji so many times.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Vibes weren't so positive for the U.S. women's national team after they lost to Canada. They've got a potential transitionary period coming up as they get ready for the World Cup. You got a core group of players that have been amazing for the marketing of the game and success, but they're getting older. Megan O'Keefe now joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. She hosts our new podcast, Courage on the Pitch, which covers all aspects of soccer here in the state and obviously centralized on our local team, the NC Courage. Megan, how are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So let's actually start with Lynn Williams, who going into the Olympics, she was an alternate, but obviously her play gets her onto the team and she produces. So that's, you know, for Courage fans and for the organization, that had to be pretty cool to see that throughout the Olympics.
Oh my gosh, Lynn, that's just been the story of the entire Olympics. I feel like no bias here, maybe a little bit, but still, we're just so happy for her because obviously it was a little bittersweet for her to be named an alternate. She obviously talked about how honored she was to be part of the delegation, but then when the rule changed where she was going to be able to be selected for a game roster, she was picked for a game roster in Australia and scored and had an assist with Sam Mewis, her Courage teammate. I mean, I could just keep going on and on, but we are just so excited for her.
Megan O'Keefe joining us. She has a new podcast for us called Courage on the Pitch, which you can download at WRLSportsFan.com or from wherever you get your podcast. So what is the discussion within the women's soccer atmosphere as it relates to what's next for the U.S. women's national team? I think we can all understand that with all international teams, there is a transitionary period. You have this core group that meant a lot, but you get up there in age, and there's a young group that's coming up behind them. So how do you kind of see the next couple of years playing out for the U.S. women's national team?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it at the top in your intro there. The results haven't been great in this tournament, and some people will say it's due to the older players. I mean, these are veteran players that have seen so much success, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe. And so, like you said, there could be this transition period, but I think that's what makes it really exciting because those players are the ones that really helped put this team on the map and pave the way for the young players. And so we've got, you know, exciting players, Rose Lavelle, Mallory Pugh, you know, younger players. Some might not even be on the Olympic roster right now, but the future sounds cliche, but future looks bright. And I think that obviously the World Cup in the next couple of years, that roster will look really different. But I still think that, like I said, these veteran players just really paved the way and have put the team on the map. They're super popular now and more so than they've ever been. And so I think, I mean, times are going to continue to be exciting for this team.
Megan O'Keefe, Courage on the Pitch is the name of the podcast. She's joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. All right, Megan, you played soccer. I'm going to ask you the $9 million question here. How in the world does the best team in the world play three times and not score? Like, where did the offense go for this team?
I mean, was it three games in a row without a goal?
Not in a row, but of the five they played, they didn't score in three of them.
I mean, I'm going to put my positive spin on it and just speak to how this shows how good soccer is becoming in the rest of the world. I think we all knew that, you know, for men's soccer overseas in Europe, like that's where the best soccer is. And then for women's, it's always been the U.S. dominating, which has been great for us as, you know, U.S. fans. But I think a tournament like this, as U.S. fans, we're used to seeing them win all the time. And I think that while we're disappointed in the results, this is just really telling for women's soccer as a whole, globally. It's exciting. I mean, as fun as it is to probably win all the time, it's probably still fun to have some competition, you know, face some adversity so the games are a little bit more on the line. So that's my positive spin. We're talking positive vibes. So
positive vibes only, Megan.
Always trying to bring them out. But yeah, I mean, deep down as a fan myself, it's tough to watch that. But I like to think of it as, you know, positive for the game as a whole, especially women's soccer.
Do you think that's a matter of how the of alignment or attack or strategy, or is it a matter, like you said, is it the other countries are catching up to the U.S.? I'm thinking kind of moving forward to the World Cup in 23.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. And, you know, as we talk about it being positive for the rest of the world, I think it's going to come down to, like we said, there's going to be a pretty new looking roster in the next couple of years for the U.S. team. And so that's where the sort of puzzle pieces, you got to figure out who plays well together. Clearly, again, no bias, but Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams on the field at the same time clearly worked out. They had a goal. They both had a goal, assist, and all those things. So I think as the roster changes a bit in the next coming years, it's just going to be a matter of putting the puzzle pieces together. But what these players also mentioned is how difficult it is to make this U.S. team because there are so many talented players in the pool to pick from. So, which obviously isn't a bad problem to have, but it just makes it really difficult because there were hundreds of talented players left off this roster just because the competition's so great within our country.
Megan O'Keefe, she hosts the podcast Courage on the Pitch on WRELSportsFan.com. All right, so as the Olympics wind up, players are coming back. What is next for the Courage? How do things look right now?
So that's a great question. Things are changing on a weekly basis. For anyone out there who's keeping an eye on the NWSL standings, I feel like every week a different team is in first and last, and it's all over the place. So we were in that first place spot for a little bit, but I think it's only like, I want to say like 10 points or so that differentiates the top and the bottom place team. So things shake up all the time. For the Courage right now, we're sitting in, I want to say fourth or fifth place, but we have a game coming up this Saturday against New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. That's the new Sky Blue FC. They rebranded. So we have that game coming up. And then our next, we have a couple home matches coming up this month, but things will definitely shake out. But we just traded. We had an interesting trade, but it brought on a really, really talented player, Amy Rodriguez, who is a veteran, and she has just been a huge leader in this league, as well as has some international experience. So she's fun to watch. So lots of sparks there in the roster already. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the team. I'm feeling good about our chances. So, yeah, keep an eye on the Courage.
Megan, you haven't been fine this week, have you?
I haven't been.
Fine.
I'm sorry. No.
F-I-N-E-D. Paul Riley was fine for saying they should have taken a break during the Olympics. That's ridiculous.
Oh, yes. I thought you said me personally. I haven't heard about my own personal.
No. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, like, I'm just making sure you're staying on the toning line.
They haven't come after you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so far I'm in the clear. But, yeah, we were earlier this week, and it was just a comment from Paul, I believe. And, yeah, I was on the press conference myself, so I didn't really catch it. But, yeah, that happened. And, you know, he voices what he thinks, so that's where that one went.
That's why we love talking to Paul Riley. He's the best. Mm-hmm. Megan O'Keefe, Courage on the Pitch is the name of the podcast. Go check it out. New episodes every Thursday. Thanks, Megan.
Of course. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Once again, shout out to Joe Giglio for the idea. NBA free agency is in full swing, just millions of dollars just going around as we saw Carmelo going to the Lakers. But there's one team that people aren't talking about, guys, and it's Joe Giglio's Clippers.
Got the roster of a champion. Got playoff P and Boogie, you know they have been around. Paid enough for Kawhi not to leave town. He won one in Toronto. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now he's got Rondo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just trying to get the other LA team to get that bright ring. I'm in love with the Clippers. They're blending and spending and trending, and in May they'll be contending. I'm in love with the Clippers. Not playing, they're paying and staying. The West better beware, I was saying. I'm in love with the Clippers. They're prime, it's their time, watch them climbing. They've been waiting a long time. I'm in love with the Clippers. They're managing loads, cause the roads are not always the staple, they're abodes. And I'm in love with the Clippers.
I was gonna rap, but I just decided to keep it like that.
Glorious. Oh, man. That was so terrible. It was great.
Yes.
So terrible. It was great.
That's the goal.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Joe O to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.